of our fellow believers becomes better again today. We respond to your word. We respond in honor. We respond in reverence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well done, well done. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, yeah, thank you so much. Let's start right away. Good morning. Thank you for joining. So much to say, so much to do. I call it the Bible and its interpretation. This is part two. There's a part two of it. Track two, the Bible and its interpretation. Part one will be made available on the website later. Okay, I'm ready live. So part one will be made available later. When we are done, to remind you, I will not be continuing part three tomorrow. I will tell you a better time when I will be able to continue part three. But just ensure you are blessed today. So, like I said, this is a follow-up series of Can the Bible Be Wrong? So that is where we are coming from. Okay. Thank you, Vivian. So Matthew chapter 7 verse 28. So don't forget, we only have God's tool for God's work. Now, when you are running a ministry and you don't have, preachers, listen to me, please listen to me. When you are running a ministry and you don't have much gimmicks to offer, okay? When you are running a ministry and you don't have much, much paparazzi, you don't have much things of the flesh to offer in ministry, then you must be careful to ensure you use God's tool for God's work. You must be careful to ensure you are now using that God's tool for God's work. Yeah. By the time, if you have resolved not to use any gimmicks, all the tools out there, maybe if you have resolved not to rely on a nice venue for ministry, you have resolved not to rely on cozy things for ministry, if you have decided to use God's word for ministry, then ensure you use God's word in its entirety. Then ensure you use God's word in its fullness. Don't be half there, half here. No. If you have resolved to use God's word, please use God's word. Yeah. Use it and use it well. Use it fully. That's what we call the old counsel of God. The old counsel of God. Don't use anything below that. Use the entire counsel of God for God's work. Don't subscribe to anything below that. Okay. You understand why I'm saying that before today is done. Okay. It may be a bit longer today than yesterday, but just pay attention. I will try and be as slow as I can. Since it's a virtual teaching platform, just to ensure you are following. So ensure you have your notes, you have your Bible, you have your pen, and you have a good attitude, like you, same way you have in church towards God's word. So Matthew chapter 7 verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished. The people were astonished at his doctrine. Okay, when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Let me say this again. Ensure you trust your pastors, okay? Trust your pastors. Trust what they are taking you through. Trust that you need everything they are giving you, okay? Trust the fact that you need everything they are giving you for ministry. Of course, most of us might be used to different ministry pattern, and the place where we are coming from, we are used to, it doesn't have to be as hard as this. It doesn't have to be as tedious as this, as that. But, you are also here because of trust. So ensure you trust the fact that, trust the fact that your leader knows better than you. Okay. Trust the fact that, your leader knows better than you. So, with that, please pay rapt attention to this teaching of God's word. So he said the people were astonished at his doctrine. Okay, doctrine. Let me go to a few Greek words today. That, of course, that Greek word is didache, didache, D-I-D-A-C-H-E. Okay, I want to explain all these shades today. D-I-D-A-C-H-E. It means, so they were astonished at his mode of explanation. Remember, his mode of explanation, the acts, how, the mode, that means the style, how he explained, how he explained, that is didache. So they were astonished at his mode of explanation. It surprised them, that what manner of type is this? They are not used to this, okay? They are not used to this mode of explanation. They are not used to explaining Bible in context, in content, by grammar. They are not used to that. They just thought that, and if you open Psalm 16 and you see enter his gate with thanksgiving, into his court with praise, they will think that, oh, the gate and court, maybe he should be talking about the church or talking about the synagogue. But Jesus, of course, he will use that to explain his resurrection. Maybe Jesus would have opened to them for them that, okay, in the presence of the Lord, that is down on Psalm 16, is the fullness of joy. And when they have been thinking that, and that is talking about, yes, how we jive in church, they say, no, that is not talking about us, that is talking about the joy of resurrection. No, those are countless patterns. So they are now astonished, okay, at his mode of explanation. Now, okay, that Greek word, okay, is from another Greek word, that is didasko. Please write this down. Didasko. Didasko is a verb. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. That's didasko. This one is a verb right now. And didake is used, let me say, 30 times in the New Testament Greek, okay? 30 times. But didasko is used 97 times. So we can know how important learning is. So didasko means to learn, okay? It's a verb. It means to learn. While didake means the mode of explanation, the mode of learning. But didasko, it means to learn. Please follow. It means to learn. Okay. So, that word doctrine, okay, does not always refer to sound doctrine. When we say that doctrine, didache, it does not always refer to sound doctrine. Both sound doctrine, because anyway, I'm still coming there gradually. See, there's another similar shade of didache. Sorry, I will explain what I'm saying soon. There's another shade of didache which is called didaskalia. Please write this down. This is really the one I want to explain first this morning. Didaskalia. Didaskalia. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A. Didaskalia. Now, didaskalia now means the instruction. The instruction itself. The teaching itself. Okay? The instruction. That means what is taught. The exact thing that is taught. Are you with me? Didaskalia will mean the exact thing that is taught. What is taught, the teaching. Again, didache is the art, the A-R-T, the art, the mode, the art of teaching, the art of the mode of explanation. But didaskalia is the topic itself, the teaching itself. Why? And didasko is the verb to learn, to teach. Hope you got that. So then didaskalia is used, let me just say, 21 times in the New Testament Greek. 21 times. And let's look at few of that. Sorry, let me give you one more. Before that, there's another shade of that again, which is the teacher. Sorry, this one is called didaskalos. Okay. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-S. Didaskalos. So that one means the instructor. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-S. That one means the instructor. The instructor or the teacher, the master, the doctor of the law. Didaskalos. So, now I just gave you four Greek words. One is didache, which is the mode of explanation, right? Maybe you can say it to me if you remember. The darker will be the what? The mode of explanation. Next one should be what? If you remember, is it that should be didasco, which is to learn, right? To learn. Then the next one will be didascalia, right? Which will be the actual instruction, the what is taught, okay? The teaching itself. Then the last one, for now, I call it didaskalos, which is the instructor. So let's focus on didaskalia for now. See Matthew 15 verse 9. So what I was trying to say earlier, the other time, is that at times you can have most of the time in the Bible, in the New Testament, when you see doctrine in plural, it refers to false doctrines, okay? So, but when you see it in singular, most of the time, okay, it's not holistic, it refers to sound doctrine. So, those are translation. That means, let me explain. The translators, okay, judging from the context of the discussion, anytime they see a false doctrine, they will put plural there, they will put S there. But anytime they see sound doctrine, they will make it singular. That means the doctrine of Christ is singular. So although both of them will have the same Greek word, but because of translation, they call false doctrine, doctrines, plural. But sound doctrine, singular, doctrine. The doctrine of Christ is one and singular. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus alone. But false doctrine, plenty. Let's just see how the didaskalia, which is the actual teaching, okay, the actual instruction, the actual learning. Let's see how it's used in the New Testament Greek. Okay. Matthew 15 verse 9. But in vain they do worship me. Oh. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. I'm thinking I'm having slight issues with this mix. LR is saying my time is almost up. When maybe he's thinking I will come online after, sometimes after their plan. Hold on. Okay, I should come back. The thing has reset, so we can continue now. Awesome. So Matthew 15 verse 9. Thank you for coming back. Let's do this. Matthew 15 verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines. Can you see doctrine in plural there? Matthew 15 verse 9. Open your Bible. Matthew 15 verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. So you can see, since it's false doctrine, the translators, they made it plural. Okay? Since it's false doctrine, the translators, they made it plural. See, go to Mark. The same thing, Mark 7 verse 7, the same thing written there. Albeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Okay, leave that. Go to Romans 12 verse 7. Romans 12 verse 7. Romans chapter 12 verse 7. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or either t-shirt on teaching, or either t-shirt on Teaching there is the same Greek word, didaskalia, okay? Of course, that is positive. Teaching there is the same Greek word, didaskalia. Go to Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. So that means there is a systematic theology that the Bible recommends, okay? That means what we call teaching in the Bible is not just to come and say anything. It's a systematic interpretation of truth. Systematic theology, systematic interpretation of truth. See Romans 15 verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, you see, were written for our what? Learning, for our didaskalia, for our learning, for, now, and don't forget in didaskalia, same from didache, there must be an interpretation, okay? A mode of doctrine, everything. So everything that is written is not just la cram la poor, it's for our learning. We must learn from them. We must learn from them. That means it's not, there must be an applied teaching from the Old Testament. There must be an applied teaching from the Old Testament for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. See Ephesians 4 verse 14. Look at this one. This one may be a bit, may be somehow. See Ephesians 4 verse 14. that we henceforth be no more children, open Ephesians 4:14, that henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So I think doctrine there should it be plural or singular? Which one do you think? Of course, it should be plural. It should be plural, but because you know it's a compound word, they use every wind. So that word every wind already covers for it. Already covers for the doctrine that they didn't put in plural there. So that's like a compound word. So that is the same thing as false doctrine. Every wind of doctrine, the sleight of men, cunning craftiness. Go to Colossians 2:22. Okay. Colossians 2:22, which all are to perish with the using, which all are to perish with, which all are to perish with the using. Some people are trying to join. Join again. I'm back on line. Okay, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Okay, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Go to the pastoral epistles. See, doctrine there is plural again. Doctrines of men. 1 Timothy 1:10. Okay, of course, for warmongers, for them that defy themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, contrary to sound doctrine. I will come back to that before we close. See 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from what? From the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1, please. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, giving it to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. See that same thing. 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. See that? Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Okay? Thank you. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast already attained. Okay, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast already attained. That means the believer must be nourished up. Okay, nourished up. See chapter 4:13, 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come. Don't forget, you must be nourished up. You must be nourished up in sound doctrine. See chapter 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Some people just think that doctrine, we are just emphasizing doctrine too much, that doctrine is not important. Well, I don't know where you see your own Christianity from. The Bible Christianity is based on doctrine. It's based on instruction, based on an explanation of the Old Testament, upon the Old Testament. That's Bible Christianity. And that is a fabric. Okay. See chapter 4:16. Take it unto thyself unto the doctrine. Take it unto thyself unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Continue in doctrine, in doing doctrine, you will both save yourself and them that hear thee. See chapter 5:17. Same 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. This I have told especially guys in Kubwa, that you must practice his double honor, practice double honor, especially those who have labored in the word and doctrine. Labor in word and doctrine. Elders are not those with gray hair. I only have two people with gray hair in my church. One is Paracletos, one is Youth of God. So that does not qualify them to be an elder. Elder are those who have labored in what? In word and doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 1. Chapter 6 verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke of their master, master worthy of all honor, that they in the name of God and his doctrine. Wow. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. That in the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. That's actually a lot, okay? That the name of the Lord and his doctrine be not blasphemed. That's a lot. Because, that would mean, we must not give people, outsiders, a reason for them to counterfeit the doctrine of God, to counterfeit, the teaching of God. We must not give them a reason to think that, we are being taught dishonor in church. Are you getting me? We must not give outsiders a reason to think some people. That is why I always encourage you guys to still honor your parents, regard them, don't shun them off, check up on your people so that the doctrine of God will not be blasphemed. See chapter 6 verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not, see that, and consent not to all some words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And to the doctrine, which is according to godliness. Of course, it is proud. It is see. Okay. See chapter, go to 2 Timothy right now. 2 Timothy. Come on. Let me be done with this. This is what we call, analyzing scripture by usage. And that means you will interpret a verse, a word by its usage. How is it being used? Okay. So you have seen that, the word doctrine, the didascalia, is used for both sound doctrine and good doctrine, right? Then, so that means you must rely on context to know if the doctrine here is sound or is false doctrine. Thank you for getting that. And see chapter 2 Timothy right now, chapter 3 verse 10. Don't worry, by the time I start explaining, I'll be a bit slower. Chapter 3 verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience. See that? Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, and patience. Okay, see chapter 3 verse 16, the awesome popular Pastor Nainka scripture. All scripture, chapter 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, Pastor Shem, be perfect, and me too, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 now, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. The time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Okay, let's rush to Titus. Titus. Well, I didn't think Titus Fish or is it Geisha now takes people to hell again, right? It does before, according to our woman of God. I didn't know if she has repented. Okay, Titus 1 verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Can you see that? Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. By sound doctrine, to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. See chapter 2 verse 1. So that means we are to hold fast to sound doctrine, okay? You must be hold fast to what you have been taught so that you can, by with sound doctrine, convince the gainsayers, okay? See Titus 2 verse 1. But speak thou the things which becometh what? Sound doctrine. Speak the things that become sound doctrine. Titus 2:7. Titus 2:7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. I will come to those, not today, showing gravity in doctrine, sincerity in doctrine. Sincerity, not picking the Bible. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not picking the Bible for filthy lucre, for filthy gain. No, he's saying gravity in doctrine, sincerity in doctrine, uncorruptness in doctrine. We'll get to that later. See chapter 2, lastly, verse 10. Not pulling, but showing all good fidelity back, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Okay, so that is the 21 times that the word didaskalia is used in the New Testament Greek. Now, you could see that 15 times alone, okay, it was used in the pastoral epistles. What do we call pastoral epistles? That First Timothy, Second Timothy, and Titus, we call them pastoral epistles because those are Paul's letters to pastors, pastoral epistles. So that was so 15 times alone, the word didaskalia was used in First Timothy, Second Timothy, and Titus. Are you getting that? That means it was used 21 times in the entire New Testament Greek. 15 times alone is used in these three pastoral epistles. So it means is the duty of the pastor to maintain sound doctrine. It is the duty of the pastor to maintain sound doctrine. Also, if I may say, sound doctrine must be a constant member of the local church. Of course, you should try and understand my personification. I said, firstly, it is the duty of the preacher, of the pastor, to maintain sound doctrine. Then the pastor must ensure sound doctrine is a constant member of the local church. That means you must be bothered about sound doctrine. You can't say, well, once anything that works. No, it starts a very frivolous statement. Say anything that works. We must not say anything that works. That is what I will employ in ministry. We must not say that it's anything that brings the crowd. Well, that's what I will employ in ministry. No, it must not say it's anything that brings the money. That is what I will, any style that brings the money, that at least we are not told not to do this. You know, that is very funny, right? Some people will be doing some practice in church. They will not ask you okay, is this written anywhere that we should not do comedy in church? Is it written anywhere that we should not do it in church? No, that's funny. You are told what to do. So, and because you are told what to do by inference, you are already told what not to do. When God is telling you what to do, that means he was also telling you what not to do. So ensure you pay attention to that. Go to Matthew 22. Well, that's not really where I'm still going today. We will really go deeper into doctrine. Not even today. I'm still on the path which we started yesterday. Matthew 22, verse 31. Matthew 22, 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read? Hey, Holy Spirit, have you not read? You know, when, like I love to tell my people, when if God will become a man and he was going around the street, guys, go to school, be reading. That means reading is important. Study to show thyself approved. Reading is important. Let me say that again. If God will become a man and God came to the earth to tell people to go to school, just take that literally. I mean, that's what he's saying. Have you not read? That means don't you read? Don't you study? Go to school. Go and learn God's word. Have you not read? How do you read? Do you just go to church without your Bible? Do you go without your writing materials? How do you read? What are you doing there? What are you doing in church without a Bible? What are you doing in church without a writing material? What are you doing in church without your mind? What are you doing in church? Someone is going on, you are playing games. What are you doing? Have you not read? So reading is important. Reading is important. Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Can you see that? Of course, talking about the resurrection is the God of the living. He's trying to say that these people, Abraham, Jacob, they are not dead. They are living. They are in Christ. And the multitude heard this. They were astonished at his what? Doctrine. So again, from what you have said yesterday, let me say again, of course, I think I gave you the definition of doctrine yesterday as the art of demystifying the Holy Scriptures, as demystifying what has been written before time, the art, A-R-T, of demystifying. So, and what is the doctrine of the Bible? Salvation through faith in Christ. Don't get tired of writing that. What is the doctrine of the Bible? Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Again, what is the doctrine of the Bible? Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And what is the fabric of that doctrine? That means, what is the makeup of that doctrine? What is the intent of that doctrine? Mercy. That's the answer. Mercy. Mercy, M-E-R-C-Y, mercy. Again, that mercy is based on what? The mercy is based on his death and resurrection. So the mercy in the Bible, it has a basis. It's based on Christ's death and resurrection. That's the mercy in the Bible. It's not NGO mercy. It's not NGO love. It's not the love of just casual love. No, it's based on his death and resurrection. The mercy in the Bible, it has a basis. For instance, giving in church is different from giving in the club. It's different from giving in your student union association. Old school association or whatever we call it. It's different. For instance, let me show you how we give in church. See 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Make sure you don't get tired. 2 Corinthians 8 from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Okay. Can you see that? Their abundant poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. See verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yet and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, and praying us with much entreaty that we won't receive the gifts and take upon us the fellowship of ministry to the saints. Now, verse 5 is where I'm going. And this they did not as we hoped, but first they gave their own self to the Lord. Can you see that? First they gave their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. This is why we don't go around to the houses of unbelievers telling them to come and support church. That's why we don't just put account numbers everywhere. Yeah, I didn't even know. Is that, do we have account number now? That's why we don't just paste account numbers everywhere that, come and give to the church. That's why we don't do that. Like, personally, I believe, not really personally, we believe that those who should support the gospel are those who are interested in the gospel. Not those who you just go and cajole, go and beg, go and say, yes, sir, maybe God can also use you for his glory. How is God? They should come and lend that glory. Amen, amen. So anything that the saints cannot contribute to get, let that remain undone. That's the point. Let that remain undone. Okay. So I said giving the epistles is different from the donation in an NGO. It's different. Okay. So it's this. He said first they gave their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Okay. So people, they first gave their self to the Lord, salvation to us, ministry. Okay. They gave themselves to us too, ministry. They took upon themselves ministry. They were not just saved. They were interested in ministry. Simple. It's easier. Those who are already interested in ministry, you will not beg them to give. You will not cajole them to give. They know best to give, and they will give out of the right motive, and they will not use giving to replace the actual work of the ministry. They will not use giving to replace that. They will give and they will go. They will go and they will give and they will preach. They will not give and they will be in their swimming pool at home saying, yes, I've played my part. No, your part is not in the swimming pool. Your part is to go to the village and preach the gospel. Okay. So again, the giving in the epistle is based on an event. Okay. Write that down like that. The giving in the epistle is based on an event. The giving in the epistle is based on an event. First, they gave themselves unto the Lord. They gave themselves unto the Lord. It's based on an event. The death of Christ is resurrection. The death of Christ is resurrection. So, and as a result of that, we now have the remission of sins. Write that down, please. So we have, I say, even the giving, the love life, the mercy in the epistle is based on an event, is based on the death of Christ, is based on his resurrection. As a result of that, we now have remission of sins. We now have what? Remission of sins. As a result of that, we now have remission of sins. So then, remission of sins, like I've explained yesterday, otherwise you can call it love, you can also call it mercy. You can call it love, you can call it mercy. For instance, you will not really find the word, so much word like, maybe it's not that much in the epistles, remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, well, but you find love. You find love, plenty. That's the same thing. Now, see what I just said though, death of Christ is resurrection, remission of sin, love, mercy, anything outside this is false doctrine. Any act, any practice that you cannot trace to all this is false doctrine. Any practice that you cannot trace to love, to mercy, to forgiveness of sin, to the resurrection of Christ, to his death, anything you cannot trace to all this, anything that does not take his strength from all this, anything that does not take his consolate if from all this, anything that does not take his root from all this is false doctrine. Anything that does not take his root from all this is false doctrine. Go back to Matthew 16. Let me now explain something. Are you following? Are you getting it? Are you understanding? Matthew chapter 16, verse 12. Now, Pastor Joshua, did you put the thing on loudspeaker in your house? In your, you using that your smartphone? Matthew 16, verse 12. Okay, then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine, okay? Of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Pay attention. Don't forget, I just defined false doctrine for you as anything devoid of love, devoid of mercy, devoid of the intent of his death and resurrection, devoid of remission of sins. Okay, so I said now, so Matthew 16:12, he said, Jesus was telling them to, they now understood that he was telling them to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What is their doctrine? Let's just read earlier. Let's read a bit more. Let's see what he's talking about. See Matthew 16 verse 5. See Matthew 16 verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they forgot bread. And Jesus now said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven, okay, of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. That means, pay attention. So, look at the word. He used, in verse 12, he used doctrine before, right? But in verse 6, he now used leaven. Leaven. Don't forget, what is leaven? Leaven is what they used to make, that should be what they used to make bread, right? What they used to make bread. So, that means, you must beware of the consistent of your consumption. Or let me say, you must beware of, because if he has used bread now, just say, okay, he's just saying beware of what you eat, but the constituent of what you will feed people with. Leaven will mean that will be what is used to make, to bake bread, right? So it's now saying, take heed and beware of the leaven. That means it's now describing the doctrine of the Pharisees as per the things they are going to prepare, like what they are going to sandwich together to feed others. So beware of their doctrine. Beware of mixture. Beware of mixed doctrine. Beware of thank you, Jude. Beware of like a don't use the flesh to do God's work. 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 See chapter 16, verse 1. Now, you start seeing their doctrines, okay? You now start, we go small to the doctrine of the Pharisees, which you can just best describe as false doctrine. You see, and the Pharisees also came with the Sadducees and tempted him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He would show them a sign from heaven. Of course, that implies one of the things you will see is lack of faith, okay? Lack of faith. Remember, Bible already tells you that faith worketh by love, right? Okay, but lack of faith is they are desiring a sign that you are we sure this are you we desire a sign. So that's a symbol of lack of faith. That's Matthew 16 verse 1. Lack of faith. See chapter 15 verse 1. Go to 15 verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, see verse 2, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. They wash not their hands for them to eat bread. Well, it's good. We are in the era of sanitizer, sanitize everything, but ensure you don't use fire and lighter after you have sanitized. Remember that your funny video. I didn't know. Those your Ghanaians from the as tall as Paracletus. Sela. Sorry, that's a joke. A very serious joke. Okay, where am I reading? 15, verse 2. So they said they wash not their hands when they eat bread. So what is that? Fault finding. That is another thing you will find, another characteristic of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Firstly, I say you will see lack of faith. That is chapter 16, verse 1. Now, 15, verse 1 and 2 right now. I say you will see fault finding. You must not hug this. Fault finding. Church leaders, you must not have a eye for faults. No. Fault finding. No. So, of course, I'm showing you things that are contrary to sound doctrine. See chapter 12, Matthew 12, verse 1. Ensure you are not just listening. Ensure you are not just writing. Ensure you are also opening the Bible. That is the culture that we are teaching also with this series, the Bible and its interpretation. Okay, Matthew 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus... at that time, Jesus went on. Inelua, you are disturbing me. Join online. Oh, just message Inelua to join. Okay. At that time, Jesus went on Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were on guard. And please focus on this. His disciples were on guard and began to pluck the ears of corn to eat. Okay, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. See that? People are eating. People are hungry and they are And of course, if you have read some of those laws, you are permitted to eat anything you will find on such days. I remember it somewhere in the Pentateuch. So he said, if they said unto him, behold, that disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. See Jesus' answer. Okay, please pay attention. He said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? Okay, how that he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewed bread, which is not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple they profaned the Sabbath and were blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Now, this is not teaching the type of what we call maybe grace, that grace who can make you break any rule. That's not what he's saying, no. Focus. Look at the next verse. But if you have known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Wow. We have mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Why? Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So, mercy and not correctness. Mercy, what he's simply teaching here is mercy. These people, what he's just saying is that they are hungry. Let them eat. Mercy. Mercy. Not correctness. They are hungry. Let them eat. See, Luke 13. You will get what I'm saying more right now. We are still looking at how Jesus handled the Pharisees. You see their doctrines. See Luke 13. Go to Luke 13, verse 10. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Mercy. Luke 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogue of the on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity in 18 years. See this, 18 years. 18 years. My God. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, glory to God, he called out to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And the next verse, and he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. What should be the default response of anybody that is sensible? What should be the default response of anybody that his brain is not under his armpit? See the next verse. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Write that down. That means indignation, always another meaning word for indignation, the anger is a fruit of false doctrine. It's one thing you will see under false doctrine. Anger. Of course, you know, I've showed you that lack of faith. I've showed you that lack of faith, lack of trust. I've showed you lack of mercy. I've showed you fault finding. Now you are seeing anger too. Anger. So, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Are you high? Sorry, Gary, not you, Gary. And said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to walk. In them, therefore, come and be healed. And not on the Sabbath day. No, that's a wicked man. Why didn't this the ruler of the synagogue, why didn't he heal the woman? All this why? Since, okay, the woman can be healed on the normal day. So, which of the people have you healed on normal day? And you see Jesus' answer. And the Lord answered him. No, this will be, no, let me tell you the truth. Some people deserve an answer. Well, I'm going to get to this later. You know, I'm preparing for engaging unbelief again later. There are some stuffs that he deserves an answer. Some things must really not go without an answer.
Amen.
Like, it's not everything. Like, of course, I trust everybody. I define as a member. You are nobody is everywhere on Facebook looking for who to vent any unnecessary. Because, of course, you have a work, right? You have a work to preach the gospel to sinners. So that means it's not everything. You are not the corrector of the body of Christ. You are not the one to be using your eye to find any fault everywhere. Yeah, this one has zero. No.
But there are some things that deserves an answer. There's some things that if the thing, if it passes your phone, you call the person about God. Come, what did you just said? Say vitamin C will take a woman to hell.
Yeah, girl.
Okay. So, no, like this one, he deserves an answer. Jesus answered. He said, guy, come. Thou hypocrite. You know, is the ruler of the synagogue Jesus was talking to. Hypocrite. He deserves this. That's what I'm saying. You must weigh negative. You must weigh there are some things that people will say, you just do it, general teaching, so that everything. There are some that you face the guy, say, guy, you are Satan. You are Satan. So that means the things must be ranked, right? It must be ranked. And thank you. So it's not that you now be seeing everybody and you will be, castigating everybody. No.
Okay, say thou hypocrite. Say, does not each of you on the Sabbath day lose his ox and his ass from the store and shall lead him away to watering? See 16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has born, lo, these 18 years, be loose from the bond, from this bond on the Sabbath day? 17. And when he has said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Amen, amen. Shout mercy! Yeah, that's mercy. That's mercy. That's mercy. That's mercy at work. See, same Luke 14 verse 1. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Luke 14 verse 1. It came to pass as he went into the house of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, they washed him, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had dropsy. And Jesus answered and spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and he healed him and he let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straight away pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again in those things. So that is also mercy, 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 mercy. Mercy is the fabric of the doctrine of Christ. Are you getting me? Mercy. Go to John 8 verse 2. John chapter 8 verse 2. Early in the morning, he came into the temple and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what seest thou? And this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Jesus stood on the ground with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a first stone at her. And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Thank God. These people, they choose to be convicted by their own conscience. Some people, they will just choose to silence their conscience. Say, no, nothing. I am not me. I don't have a fault. Some people just choose to form commando. Well, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Just was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus had lifted up himself. When he lifted up himself, saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are those thy accusers? See what he called them, accusers. Category or same word used for the devil. Hath no man condemn thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. You go, you sin no more. You see that? You go, you sin no more. That's mercy. Now, verse 8. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. To walk in anger, to walk in wrath, to walk in sin imputation is to walk in darkness. To walk in condemning others, to walk in accusing others is to walk in darkness. To walk in accusing people is to walk in darkness. Let me explain something. Matthew 18 verse 15. Pay attention. Matthew chapter 18 verse 15. Are you there? Okay. Glory to God. Okay. Let's read. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Can you see that? If thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Can you see that? If he hears you, then you have gained thy brother. See what he's talking about? So he's talking about reconciliation, right? And if you will not hear thee, then take with him, with thee, one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witness, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. If he shall neglect to hear the church, let him be unto him an edim man and a publican. That means just let him be. That means don't pick a side against him. Don't, because how will you treat a publican? You not be worried. You just, okay, I've done my best. Just let him be. But I will explain that. That is not just, it's not to neglect totally, no, but it's just, that means you will not allow what such a person is doing to affect you, okay? That's what he's saying. He said if you treat him as a publican, that means you will not allow what he's now doing henceforth to affect you. Since the person is not listening to any counsel, then you just treat him as a publican. You will not allow any of his action to affect you any longer. But see what he's now saying. 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be born in heaven, and whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I will explain this better inside love and self, because this is talking about reconciliation. Anything you bind on earth, anything, because it's talking about disagreements, right? So anything you bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. So that will be talking about reconciliation has God's approval in heaven. Reconciliation has God's approval. God looks. Oh God. Oh, I didn't know how to say. How do I say this better? God anticipates reconciliation. He anticipates his children to reconcile. He looks forward to it. God looks forward to reconciliation. God looks forward to reconciliation. See verse 19. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. So look at that. So that means the asking here is not like you're asking for, it's not asking for things. It's to ask to be united. The same way Jesus was praying in John 17 that they might be one as we are one. It was prayer. So if you shall ask, so the asking is actually specific. It's talking about unity. Because a lot will go right in the ministry of Jesus when we are walking in unity. When we are walking in unity. When we are walking in order. When we are not walking in beefing. So if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So from context, is to ask to be united. And what?
And of course, you know, in asking there, it's not just about asking God, it's to ask yourself too. It's to ask yourself. It's to speak to yourself. So it's not only about asking, pray to God right now. It's also to ask of yourself, to demand of yourself, to demand unity of yourself. God is well honored in reconciliation. God is well honored in unity. In the church, we short circuit God's power. That is why I don't take it easy at all when I see relationship flaws, when I see things, you are short circuiting God's power. What ought to be done will not be done. You cannot live at variance with a believer, especially in a local assembly. You can't. You are breaking a link of power. You are breaking a link of the flow of the Holy Ghost. It's not sad. We have some places where you have pastors that they don't talk to one another. God is outside that church. God is not inside. Amen, amen. And see, let's continue. See verse 20. Say, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Hallelujah. There I am in the midst of them. For you to understand better, see what he's now saying in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I shall forgive him? This is to tell you that they know that he was talking, all the asking, everything, binding and losing. He was talking about reconciliation. He was talking about relationship. Say, how often before I don't forgive him again? And what Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you 7 times, but unto you, but 70 times 7. See that? You know, that is another figure of speech, right? You just gave me a big number. You are going to be counting it. And only a useless man will be counting 490 offenses per day. Praise God. So, now see verse 23. Therefore, now, he now put up a parable to explain further what he was saying. Are you with me? Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which won't take account of his servants. Are you reading with me, please? Ensure you are reading. That's why you should be reading, you should be writing, you should be doing everything. Well done. So he will take account of his servant, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, for as much that he asked not to pay. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all he had, and payment to be made. Well, see, that Lord, that's not your father in heaven, okay? So this is a parable. Okay, see 26, and the servant, so this is what the earthly king will do. Come on. So 26, and the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him and said, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debts. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Say, bossy be, you are about, pay me that which thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he has paid the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that which was done, they were very sorry and came. You know, these are very, what do I call them? These are gossipers. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, thou wicked. Wow. Don't forget, although all this is a figure of speech, but that means not to forgive your fellow believer is termed wickedness. Write that down. Not to forgive a fellow believer is likened to wickedness. It's likened to wickedness. Man, and some of you have this idea of I can forgive, I can forget, I can forgive, but the relationship cannot be like before. Once you can say that with your mouth, something is wrong with your spiritual brain. Pardon me. Once you can say that with your mouth, I forgive you now, but things cannot be like before. Once you can say that with your mouth, you have not forgiven. Once you can ask a question of is it compulsory that we still be friends like before again? Once you can say that with your mouth, then something is missing. A very big knot is missing the equation of your salvation. A big knot. They have lost it. Because that's one of the plenty ways that people used to abhor unforgiveness in their heart. They say, but I cannot trust him again. What if God forgive you and he refuses to trust you again?
Because I trust that it's not you. That's all inference. So thou wicked and thou slothful, thou wicked servant, sorry, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also to have compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I have pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So that is what the earthly king did in that parable. Now pay attention to verse 35, which I will still explain more on that love and self. Verse 35 now says, so likewise, well, that word likewise changes a lot of things. In like manner shall my heavenly Father do unto you. So he didn't say that what that thing that your that the earthly king did unto the servant, he didn't say that is exactly what he will do, but in like manner, likewise, there is a comparison, okay? Comparison with what your heavenly Father would do unto you if you from your heart, see that word, from your heart, forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. From the heart. If you forgive not the brother, the person you are serving God together, if you don't forgive, from the heart. If you like, don't forgive Osama Bin Laden. But if you don't forgive who you are serving God with, you are spoiling God's work. So, of course, if you now ask me that, okay, what will the Father do to the person that is not forgiving? Wait inside love and self, and you will get that. You get with that on that love and self series 2 when it comes. But the point is that what is the lesson here? What is the lesson from here? Yeah? Is it? Let me ask you a rhetorical question. What when you read all this parable, something like this right now? What lesson will you take from here? Is it to wait for what the Father will do to you when you don't forgive, or to simply forgive? So don't fall into that trap. Don't say, but what would the Father now do? No, that's not the lesson. The lesson is go and forgive. Just like some people will read the Bible, they will say, what will now happen to those who have not, they will now be overbothered with what will happen to those who have not believe, who have not heard the gospel. Are you sure? Oh, Bonnie, Jesus said, go and preach. That is what will happen to them. Or that is what should happen. Go and preach. Ask the right question. Don't ask what will now happen to those who have not yet. You go and preach. Simple. So this way, what you see here is not, don't now, some people don't now sit on the circle of, okay, what will the Father do if I don't forgive? Mm-mm. You, he said forgive. That's a lesson. Thank you. See, now, he just continued to tell you that all this is about mercy. Mercy. The fabric of the doctrine of Christ is mercy, 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 mercy. See Matthew 19 verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. Okay? And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and say unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Imagine people. And he answered and said unto them, okay, have you not read that he that made them in the beginning, made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and leave to and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Don't forget that they say for every cause. That means for anything she does, anything that happens. If she didn't cook indomie very well, take her away. But if you read the things, the plenty things under which a woman can be divorced under the Old Testament, you just marvel. So, and wherefore there are no more twin, but one flesh. This is what this is telling me again. Bible in temptation. Sorry, that is the admin of Mizella. I don't know what they are saying. Okay, but there are no more twin, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Verse 7, they said unto him, why did Moses then?
No, they gave him a reason. They, but no, we have a legal franc, legal franc, what do you call that thing? We have a legal grant for us to, sorry, I'm saying lingua franca. Jesus, that is linguistics. Pardon me.
I'm just saying, I want to say local standard. Amen. Okay, so what was it? So say, but Moses gave us a local standard. Abi, did I get it, Pastor Joy? Don't abuse me to this money on your house. Why then
did Moses commanded us to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Like, and Moses gave us this stand. Let me use my own word. Moses gave us a right to give her a writing of divorcement to put her away. Awesome. Verse 8. That means, focus, yo. That was their mode of explanation of Moses' words. And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffer you to put away yourself. But from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, what we have is mercy. Mercy. And see verse 9, which I have explained to you under teaching ministry of Jesus. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, it's not except it be for fornication. No, it's whosoever shall put away his wife intending fornication. I've explained this in teaching ministry of Jesus. Your pastors will teach you that later. So it's not saying that, you can put away a woman. That the only reason you can put away a woman is if he commits immorality. What of the man too? So that is just a very faulty doctrine. Actually, we actually studied that thing very in that series. So what he's saying is that because what people... I don't want to divert from this teaching. What people does in those days is maybe you are already eyeing another girl, okay? So you are intending to marry another person. So you have an idol in your heart already. So because of that, you now look for any excuse to tie to the leg of this girl, and so then you put her away so that you can marry another. So he's saying that here that whosoever shall put away his wife intending fornication and marries another. Can you see? That is why you have married another there, commits adultery, and whosoever marries her that is put away also does commit adultery. So you get that series, I explained this that place in context. So, and his disciples now said unto him, now see their response. So, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Can you see that? That means perhaps they have been planning that. Don't worry, this year I will marry this lady. After this, that one, I will transfer to another man. Me, I will go and pick another one. That is what. Oh God, let me just shift this in at this time. That's why I was teaching somebody 2 days ago. I said, hey, come, you people, he wants to write on feminism. I said, feminism. I said, why? I said, who has put you under bondage? What happens most times is that, okay, you see an error in the society, you now want to correct, okay? Because you want to correct an error in society, you will now slip into another error. I just said straight, I said, the only solution to man's problem is the gospel. That is a grand solution. Yes, right now, you have seen that, and we have seen that child abuse is bad, and some people, the way they discipline their children is just so awful. But now, to combat that, they now brought out a strict rule against touching your child, against anything. So if you just spank the hand of your child right now, the child can call 911 and they'll come and arrest you. You understand? They'll come and arrest you. But I didn't think they would come in this time of COVID. But they'll come to your house, they'll come and arrest you. And that's why we now have children that they'll be 14-year-old children like Okwe. I will tell your mom, I'm leaving the home. I'm done with you. Mommy, you, in fact, you even say, see people who will be calling their children name. Imagine it's Ojut's baby now. You just say, Toby. Imagine Ojut, your baby calling you, Toby. Okay, bye Toby, bye Bob. Practice as tall as he is. So they have lost it. Okay, they have lost it. That's the point. That's actually what happened. They have lost it. That is why all of them in foreign countries right now, they honor Africa. I mean, that's what they see like in Africa. They see like that culture of that respect. Some other countries, I think Brazil too, they are still awesome in respect. Then we should have fewer countries like that. So, in your attempts to correct something, you now enter another one.
Well, the one I'm really going is the issue of marriage, because men usually maltreat women. Okay, they now start bringing laws, and today most rich men, they are not getting married again. Most footballers, they will now start entering what is called contract marriage. They start writing what is called having and prenupt and etc. Okay, no, in fact, we only have contract marriage rights of when it's written that, okay, don't worry, me, I'm free to have 3 girlfriends outside. You two, you are free to have 2. Let's sign. The day you are going, you are not touching any of my property. Imagine a marriage that is based on a written document. How is that love? So, that is all because of the things that now happens, because now they now increase the woman rights. So, what now happens when woman's rights increase? You see any slight thing, the woman leaves, you divide the property, the woman leaves, sacks the man, runs down the man. The same thing happened to R. Kelly, happened to plenty of celebrities, which you all, I believe, you know. So, what I'm simply saying is that, is God's solution for peace is mercy, not the court of law. Mercy, not the court. So, sorry, coming back to stop. So, coming back to are you there? Are you listening? Yeah. Mercy. I see commented somebody yesterday. I say, yeah, I love the way you treat your mom. Let me say a bit more on this. See, as some of you, and like, you already know before that, maybe your mom, your father, they didn't like people from this type of tribe. They didn't like this, they didn't like that. And you will now wait till the day you now find somebody from Jamaica to marry for you to tell them that, mommy, oh, please, oh, you now wait till then for them before you now tell them what you prefer. That's not being honorable. That's not. Somebody that took care of you. Somebody that took care of you for how long? For, let's say, for 20 years. You now come one day, hey, mommy, don't worry, I will do what I like. No, it's my life. You should have told that it's your life when you are 1 year old. You should have told that it's your life when you are 2 years old. Oh no. Now, I'm not saying now that you should agree with anything they say, you agree, but there must be honor. Even when you have a different opinion, you must present it with honor, with regard. Not, mommy, this is my life now. You have done, you are an idol worshiper. You don't do that. You respect, you honor, you revere. You say, my mom, they didn't know what. You too, when do you know what? Who taught you the word? Are you still not learning? How much did you score in your exam? Is it not 52? If not for Pastor George, you would have scored for 41. So just the year when you now see somebody to marry, that's when you now start telling them, no, mommy, I must do what I like. No, relax. Oh no. How did I even get there? I can't even retrace my step now. Okay. So, back to Matthew 19 verse 10. So, a believer, you must never act like an idol worshiper. Never act to be full of yourself. Don't do that. In some countries right now, a child is 16. He says, I'm 16 though. Then he has grown wings. Can elope with a man and go to another state. Can say, I'm 16, your mom cannot, nobody can talk to you again. Father, your dad, you cut the call. That's what you feel, that's what happens, in society when they use everything to replace the gospel. The gospel teaches honor. Anybody that does not like honor, you go and find your own pastor. Me, I cannot pastor people who are dishonorable. It does not work. The gospel is high on honor. Okay, see, verse 10 again. The disciples now say unto him, if the case be with a man with his wife, it's not good to marry. So that means, I will not marry a woman. See, she will offend me. I will not be able to push her away. I beg you, Korima Ribi. So that was their mind.
That means the didaskalia they are used to before is devoid of mercy. Write that down. The didaskalia that they are used to before is such that is devoid of mercy. That's what they are used to before. The didaskalia, the learning that they are used to before is such that it's merciless. You do me, I do you. Eye for an eye. Retaliation. Retaliation. Luke 15 verse 11. Also, can you see the, I'm also teaching you how to explain Bible with all this. Hope you can see that I'm not jumping much. I'm trying my best to read as much as everything. Pastors, don't be quoting scripture for your people. Read it for them. Let them read it. Let's open. Let's read. There's nowhere you are, people are rushing to. We are not dying. We are still, all of us are still under, I don't know, the oldest man among us. You know their names. Okay. Of course, that is Ojut. Okay, Luke 15. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Of course, don't tell me, know the story. Let's read. And the younger said unto his father, oh, father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. See, that's a man that is still alive. No, that is already, you are already wishing your father dead. That's what is happening there. Because you only, collect things when the man is about to go, sha. That followed to me, and he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and wasted his servants with riotous living. And when he had spent all, he arose. There arose a mighty farmer in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country and sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fill his belly with the ox that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Imagine, I said, Boba deo, Boba waiwa, Abi, Boba deo, baby awaiwa, but over to Lanka, Arami, Eshek Belekwele, Brad Joshua, Pastor Joshua, I am Bam Fair. Sorry if you don't understand Yoruba, Rasha Yeo, etc. Anyway, sorry, that's not part of the doctrine of Christ or whatever I'm saying. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Verse 18. I will arise. I will go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But see verse 20. That's why I have told you before, this parable is not about the son, it's about the father. So when he was a great way off, oh glory, glory, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son, when he was about to say his rubbish, father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. See the response. The father, he said, don't mind him, he's hungry. He's hungry, he's at the words of an hungry man. He's hungry. So don't forget, and I said something that love himself. I said, love is an excuse to bless somebody. I think, I didn't know how I said, you just look for an excuse. Any excuse. No, just look for, so people are buffeting Jesus, and he said, father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Imagine. Whether the excuse is right or wrong, it doesn't matter. What matters is what we are trying to achieve. Amen, amen. Glory to God. So he said, bring forth the best robe. Hallelujah. And put it on him. And put a ring. Amen. Put a ring. A golden ring, right? A ring on his finger. People don't like gold. A ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And bring either the fatted calf and kill it. Glory to God. Let us eat and be merry. Amen, amen. We have to kill a cow one day in church. When Happy graduates, sorry, not a cow, maybe a goat, a big goat. Okay, 24, for this my son was dead and is alive
And again, he was lost and is found, and he began to marry. Amen, amen. Now see this brother and his elder brother. Amen. Now his elder son was in the field as he came and driven down to his house, and he heard music and dancing. Say, eh? And that guy was old school. He was now hearing music, dancing, everything that he had not used in a long while. Eh? Say, what is that? And he called one of his servants and asked them, what meaneth this? Imagine Pastor Bukhi should not come back. Say, ah, what are you guys doing? Have you lost the faith? You know? And he called and he said unto them, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. Yeah, wow, awesome. Safe and sound. That's enough to thank God for. I mean to be happy for. And he was angry. And he was angry and would not go in. As he might be akara, and start swelling. Why should you swell? So in his heart now, see this one. This happens in church. He is seeing this as preference. He is seeing this as preference. I will speak about preference later, or maybe under love and self too. You know, you just think that because somebody is preference, and you are now beefing, you are now swelling. So, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out. You see the father. So this parable is about the father. The father now came out again. Oh God, come here, and he entreated him. Oh God. No, that guy, that son, this elder son, he has learned an heteros didaskalia. He has learned a false teaching. I don't know where he's learning that from. Answering said unto his father, lo, many of these many years, I do serve with you. I scored 95 in myself. I did this. Yes, he's only happy you'll be talking about. Imagine. So I've served him many years. Neither do I transgress you at any time. You should have transgressed. Sorry. Sorry, that's wrong. But I didn't transgress you at any time. At any time thy commandments, and yet thou neither givest me a kid. Who say you should not take the kid? The kid has always been yours. Condemnation has been taking you back all this while. Don't interpret love as preference. Don't do that. We are all vital. You remember 1 Corinthians? Don't make me go to love and self. Remember 1 Corinthians 12? He says every part of the body is vital. It's vital. So if one day we are taking care of the hand, that does not mean you are not vital. Are you getting me? If one day we are saying, let's go to the barbing salon. Imagine you go to the barbing salon to take care of your hair and your leg should be complaining. Yeah, why are you not taking care of me? Imagine you doing pedicure for your leg and your bum should be complaining. Can take care of me too. Imagine you taking care of, cleaning your ear and your nose should be complaining. No! When one member suffers, everybody suffers. When one member is honored, everybody rejoices together. That is a church, Ile Momu. That you see your pastor other using somebody, etc. Come on. Rejoice together. Preference does not mean you are neglected. In fact, preference is most of the time our own part, our own selfish interpretation. Oh, Pastor Joe always said that, no matter what Henry does, Henry is always right. Oguchi should not be beefing. Carry is big. Okay, his belly is no longer big. Carry it everywhere. No! So don't misinterpret, care for one at a time, honor for one at a time. Don't misinterpret that. Don't do that. Pastors, are you getting me? Okay. Never transgress at any time their commandments. Yeah, that never gives me a kid. You can always take a kid, though. Say loud. You can always take the kid. When there you want it, you can always take it. You can always trigger your own celebration. Selah, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living, he was reminding the father of his fault. This one that is that, with allots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art with me, and all I have is thine. It is meet. Can you see that it is necessary that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead. Wow. and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
What is that? Mercy!
Well, don't mind my grammar. Write this down. Mercy is what makes the church churchable.
Sorry.
Mercy is what makes the church churchable. Don't mind my grammar.
Like, personally, me, I don't have money. I don't have gimmicks. I don't have styles. I don't have anything to do ministry. I only have the Bible. I don't have gimmicks to do ministry. I don't have, you know that I'm not that smart. I don't form. I don't form what I don't know. So, since all I have is the Bible, everything that is in there, we practice judiciously, dutifully.
Amen, amen. Are you with me?
So what we see there is mercy. Mercy, mercy. We don't have any other tool to offer you. Mercy. So we must all submit to mercy. Are you with me? We must all submit to mercy. Some people call themselves, they say, I'm a perfectionist. Everything must be to. Everything must be so, like, so anything off around them, they will be boiling. Of course, I'm not saying you should become a riff traps, but hey, in church, mercy. Things are not going right around you. You progressively bring people up. Progressively. Not boiling over anything. Mercy. Yeah, personally, this is me. I'm not protocoled. I'm not some people. Once they tell you to come to somewhere by 8 o'clock, when it's 8:01 and you're not there, they is gone. Me, I'm not that protocol. You should not be. Your Jesus is not protocol. Your Jesus is not. Your only protocol is serving your true faith in Christ. Simple. So don't have. See, some things are not that important. Hey, learn to relax at times. Like I was saying, is it yesterday? Don't be making. Don't, like some people, I have to almost, one of my extended family brothers, I have to almost accost him last week. I said, I know I've not called you for weeks, but relax, that should not be the first thing. That should not always be the first thing on the phone call. Because, because you are somewhere now, you don't call us again. But why is this always the first thing in your mind? So don't be saying that again. Like, you do know that I've not been at home for more than 2 months.
Oh, is he up to 2 months?
So I said, so like, don't exemplify that. Don't be given to fault finding.
We don't just preach doctrine, we also live doctrine. I said that yesterday. Okay, go back to Matthew 7:29. I think I am midway right now. I'm midway. I'm 50% done. So if you. So, you should know when I plan to finish. Glory, glory, glory. Matthew chapter 7:29. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes.
So, doctrine must be absolute. Doctrine is a junction where we all bow. Again, doctrine must be absolute. Doctrine is a junction where we all bow. It's not something that is going somewhere to happen. No, it's where we all bow. It's absolute. Say, he taught them as one having authority. We don't finish a teaching like this and we say, okay, let us pray that God will give us the grace. We finish a teaching like this and everybody pick his phone, you reconcile, everybody do what he ought to do. It's not what, okay, let me now go and think about it. Doctrine is absolute. Doctrine rules our life. We finish teaching in church, we repent. We finish teachings in church at times. We do the right thing. We follow instruction. Absolute. So the same thing where we preach salvation. We don't preach salvation. It's not about doctrine is not that well, we are not sure if we are saved or let's keep open, let's keep reading, let's keep praying. No, it's absolute. It's not that they will ask you that can a believer go to hell, we are not sure. What if he renounced Jesus? What if doctrine is absolute? It is one thing. What is it? You make it clear. You don't shift ground on doctrine. Gravity. Remember that and that word? Gravity and sincerity.
Now, I want to make a statement and I want you to write it down just that way. Doctrine is absolute, okay? I've said that. It's absolute. 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 Now, please write this down. There is a strength of Bible interpretation. There is a strength of Bible interpretation which is the repetition of aligned reasoning. Or maybe you can just write it like one strength of Bible interpretation is the repetition of aligned reasoning. Aligned, A-L-I-G-N-E-D, right? Aligned reasoning. So that is law of content, okay? Law of content now. Repetition of aligned reasoning. Repetition of aligned system of thoughts. Aligned. Everything is aligning. That is the meaning of out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Two or three people saying the same thing. For instance, now, see how much I have read for you now without jumping. Just to teach you, just to show you that mercy is a common intercession in the doctrine of Christ. So, for instance, why do we speak with so much conviction about forgiveness? Because it is everywhere. Why do we speak with so much conviction about mercy? Because it is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. So, that is why Bible interpretation is in using. That is why. Okay, let me hold on. I said, why do we speak with so much conviction about forgiveness, about mercy? It is because it is everywhere, right? So, and I said, that is why Bible interpretation is in using a wealth, so much instances to bat conviction. Sure, write that down. Using a wealth of instances to bat conviction. You must not be scanty. Sometimes you are preaching to somebody, just tell him, just keep reading. Just keep reading. Just tell him to keep reading. Let him keep listening. Just keep teaching. Don't just say, sir, look at John 3:16. God so loved the world, eternal life. Can you see salvation is eternal? Full stop. No. Explain that same verse from 21 scripture. Go to Romans 5. Go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 3. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Go to Ephesians 2. Go to Ephesians 1. Go to 2 Timothy 1. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews, look at everything. Read everything, A to Z. You will see it there. Go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 54. Psalm 23. Psalm 24. Amen. So, where am I? I said Bible interpretation is using a wealth of instances to bat conviction. A wealth. So much instances to bat conviction. So that's why we open plenty verses, okay? See John 1, 45. Well done. John 1, 45. Like I said, I will not be chance to do this tomorrow morning. I will let you know when we continue, okay? And for those of you that are not on maybe a different assembly platform, just ask whoever recommend you here that for the next time we continue. I can't say for sure right now. It depends on how long I'm going to have. Okay, sorry. John 1:45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. See what is there? Moses in the law and the prophets, they did write. The person they all wrote about. Wealth of instances. Not just Moses in the law, everything. Also the prophets. Same thing in our famous Luke 24, 22. Let me explain something from you for you here too. Luke 24, 22. Well done. And certain also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they had found his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said unto us. But him we saw not. But then he now said unto them, O full slow of hearts, to believe all that the prophet has spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at what Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what do you think is the issue with these guys here? That means with these people, oh God, they were only focusing on one event. Why did he call them fools? They were only focusing on one event. They didn't look at everything. They are only focusing on one event. They are only focusing on the fact that they crucified him and he died. No. And he said, guy, say, can't you look at all the scripture? He now began at Moses and all the prophets to show them the full picture. So they were focusing on one event more than all the scriptures. All the scripture. All the scripture. All the scripture. You must use aligned reasoning. Aligned reasoning. You must check everything. Don't just check what you just saw. They are only focusing on the eyewitness account of what they saw. They forgot all the scripture. Amen, amen. And have you seen people like that? That you will try, you will be preaching to them and they will just be fixated on a fragment of a verse. You'll be teaching them that God is good, everything. He said, they will, and they just be quoting one particular one for you. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord will be an enemy to my enemy. You will teach them James 1, teach them, and they will just want to stay with one thing, one tiny thing somewhere. When we say the Lord will be an enemy to my enemy, why not read further? For you to now see who the enemy should be. For instance, let me say this, the enemies of David are not your enemies. In fact, some people, funny enough, they don't have enemies, they don't have physical enemies, yet they will be praying against enemies. And if I should explain this to you from the coming God's Go actions, the enemies of David was used by David to picture the enemy of God. Again, the enemies of David were only used by David to picture the enemies of God. Not that the enemies of David are the enemies of God. No. It's David that used the life of those people as a picture of the enemies of God. That's God's word, God's action. It's like personally, I didn't know doctrine before I knew that fall down and die is wrong. I didn't know doctrine before I knew. It was the day I was told to pray the prayer. I think I've shared that story for you before in church. And they just said that is there anybody that is entering your progress? Is there anybody that has not said you should not, that just took something from you or anything? And that week, I remember somebody I taught how to make him better. That one contract I had to take, the guy took it from me. And now the thing was not paining me before. Once I got to church, when somebody reminded me that yes, I can do something to it. Yes, there's something I can do there. And I say, mention the name of the person. I mentioned the name. I say, tell him to die. Didn't say tell him to die. I just opened my mouth. He went there. I say,
I think I said the first time. Then the second time, I said, I just left that place. Because I think we are before the pulpit or something. Then I just left that place. I just walked back to my engine room. Brashi, you should know what I'm talking. Then I walked back to my engine room. Brashi, yes, I didn't go to church then. I just walked back. I said, something is wrong. No, something is wrong. No. Amen. So, and also, years ago, when I just embarked on the journey of Bible interpretation to understand Bible correctly, to interpret correctly, I remember at times too, I usually struggle with some verses, like, for instance, I will be struggling with things like, do this in remembrance of me. I will struggle with a few stuffs and I say, what of this? Who is Lucifer? What is Lucifer? Then I remember the day clearly that God told me. He said, focus on the clear and the express. Focus on what is clear. Focus on what is express. And leave the rest for me to explain. Focus on the clear and express. And the rest will become clear with time. And that has been my watchword since. You focus on the clear. Focus on the express. So that is a golden rule in Bible interpretation. Focus on those repeated instances. Repeated. E.g., for instance, we have, at least, if we looking at the Bible, we have more verses that communicate the eternal nature of our salvation than the ones that communicate that suggest that a believer can go to hell. Why not stick with the clear and the express first? You can hardly open any chapter in John without seeing eternal salvation. Look at this, maybe in part 3 also. See, go back to Luke 24. Now, verse 44. So, like, for instance, like I've been saying today, mercy, you have seen mercy as common denominator. Mercy is common. Luke 24:44, and he said unto them, these are the words that I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. See, he used a wealth of instances in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the psalm concerning me. Now let's now continue. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that what repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning as Jerusalem. Repentance and remission of sins. So again, what Jesus explained out of the Bible is his death, his burial, his resurrection, then repentance and remission of sins. He did not explain commands or Romans or 66. That's not what he explained there from there. Now we have plenty Antichrist theory everywhere right now. Before, Obama was the Antichrist. He's no longer the Antichrist. Before, it was Osama Bin Laden. Now, that one has gone. Before, it was Saddam Hussein. That one has gone. Before, it has been Adolf Hitler before. That one has gone. Now, it's a new microchip now. Microchip and Big Gate is the Antichrist right now. So many theories. See, like, if I should just ship this in for you, there is a consequence of not believing the gospel, which the Bible calls death. Stick with that. Death, which is spiritual death. Stick with that. The consequence of not believing the gospel, the Bible calls it spiritual death. Stick with that. Meaning, any other thing that you saw, like the word 66 that you saw in the corner of Revelation, it can only explain, that will only be a further description of spiritual death. Not another thing. And spiritual death is not what, it's not what is coming. Anybody that rejects the gospel now is dead already. That's John 3. You see, saw that in John 3. In John 3. Whoever does not believe the Son is condemned already. It's condemned already. It's not waiting for. It's condemned already. See that John 3, 18, John 3, 36. So, because like I was listening to a man, a man a while ago, and he was saying, he was saying, yes, because he said 66% of a certain type of people were infected. So that is bringing in 666. So now we have 66% of anybody that is staying in this area is affected. So 66 is coming. Hey, just relax now. Numerology is not Christianity. They are different. I beg you. They are different. Don't try and merge everything into the faith.
Amen, amen. So, like I said, all those things, Antichrist, they are all for that. Like Antichrist simply is a description of false doctrine. Antichrist is a word, is a term used majorly by John. John is the one that uses the word term Antichrist in the book of 1 John and Revelation. Paul will use the word false preacher. Simple. False preacher. False preacher, false doctrine. Jesus will use false, which one will Jesus even use again? Doctrines of the Pharisees. That's what Jesus will use. So don't stick, focus on the clear and the express. Thank you. So go back to the same Luke 24, 46. Hope you got something from there. I am not close to finishing, but, 60% done. Luke 24 verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations. Remission of sin should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, of course, we see Christ suffering. We see his resurrection. We see the ministry and the life of remission of sin. I believe you have seen that before. The ministry and the life of remission of sins. Now, write this down. You cannot separate the life from the ministry. No, you can't. Come on, you can't. You cannot separate the life from the ministry. You cannot separate the life from the ministry. They must be taken together. They must be taken together. 2 Corinthians 5, right now, 17. Life and the ministry must be taken together. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. Okay? He gave us. He didn't just reconcile us by mercy. He also gave us the ministry of mercy. He didn't just, some people, the way they think God only have mercy on them. They didn't know that God also gave them the duty to extend his mercy to others. God did not just have mercy on you. He also gave you the duty to extend that mercy to others. You must extend that mercy to others. I've heard a GO before and said one time ago that, God has special children. There are some of them that if they sin, that God will not punish them. But if you try it, God will allow you. I don't understand that type of special children. And some people now say, if you want to enter that covenant with God, you should not be paying 10% of your salary. As tithe, you should be paying maybe 90%, and God will do wonders. No, everything we have done to Mashadan Saint, God will forgive us. You know me? I am talking about him. Jude and the rest of the and Pastor Joshua. Amen. Okay, so all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, see verse 19. And to we that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us what? The word of reconciliation. Can you see that? He committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors. See, that's next verse. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of reconciliation. We are not just the one that we are enjoying God's mercy. No, we share God's mercy. We share God's mercy. We mirror God's mercy. We share it as though God did beseech you by us. Can you see? God is beseeching you by us. God is begging men by us. We pray you in Christ here, be ye reconciled to God. Preacher, ministers, if you have lesbians, you can take that appeal of God again and revise it again. It will help you a lot as you go further in ministry. So we mirror the ministry of, we practice this, we mirror reconciliation. And see 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So
Doctrine then becomes both what we teach and what we live. Are you getting me? Doctrine becomes what we teach and also what we live. Doctrine becomes what we teach and what we live. That means we pick the authority of our life from the scriptures. We pick the authority of our life from the scriptures. Same way we pick the message we preach from the scriptures, we also pick the authority of our life from the scriptures. Authority of our life, we pick it from the scripture. It is based on scripture. That is why you will not be unequally yoked with unbeliever. It is based on the scripture. That is why you will not just go and look for one riffraff, somebody that is not concerned with the doctrine of Christ. You will not look for somebody like that to marry. So you also pick the authority of your life from the scripture. It's based on scripture. That is when you will not just be angry with anybody anyhow. You pick the authority of life. You pick that authority of your life, okay? Because you cannot say that in my family, in my village, we don't forgive. We don't do this. No, you must pick the authority of your life from the scripture. You have seen that key in the fabric of the New Testament is mercy. It's mercy. Key in the counsel of God is mercy. So you must speak the authority of your life from that scripture, from the scripture. Romans 5 verse 8. Same thing God does to us, we do to others. Same thing God does to us, we do to others. Romans 5 verse 8. But God commended his love towards us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you see? That is a demonstration of God's love to us. He commended his love towards us in that, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God has not sent his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that has a son is not condemned. So God commended his love towards us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated. The death of Christ is a demonstration. It's a demonstration of God's love to us. Of course, our Jesus is handling that. See, same thing you see in 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3, epistle right now. The 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Come on, don't get tired. I'm 70% done. 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Can you see that? Hereby, 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we also lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought to do the same for the brethren. See verse 17. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Can you see that? You can help your believer, help a brother, and you are not doing that. Say, how dwelleth the love of God in you? My little children, let us not love in words, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Come on. If you have somebody beside you, read that to somebody beside you. Say, my little children. I beg you. Don't call your pastor my little children. You finish you. My little children, let us not love in words, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen, amen. Come on, let's read that to another person. Say, let us not love in words, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Face somebody else. Come on, let's read to somebody else. Let us not love in words, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen, amen. Tell another person, say, I'm not a fake person. Tell somebody, say, I'm not a fake person. Yeah, you're not fake. So, thank you. Sit down now. Let's continue. There is a default life of men. There's a default life of men that giving to walking in the flesh. There's their default life. They don't know forgiveness. That's their default. So let me say this way. The default life of men walking in the flesh is unforgiveness. 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 They don't understand forgiveness. They don't understand forbearance. They don't. Men walking in the flesh, they don't understand forgiveness. They are hypocrites. See 1 Timothy 3:7. 1 Timothy 3:7. See what he said, talking to the preachers. Say, moreover, you must have a good report of them which are without,
lest he fall into what? The reproach and sneer of the devil. Wow, that's a lot. Lest he fall into the reproach and sneer of the devil. Because the people without, they won't forgive you. They don't understand forbearance. They only understand correctness. They don't understand forgiveness. Take down this statement. The snare of the devil are in actions that men take as a result of disappointment. Write that down. The snare of the devil are in actions that men take as a result of disappointment. The snare of the devil are actions that men take as a result of disappointment. Oh, I am disappointed at that pastor. Oh, I am disappointed at that sister. So I don't talk to her anymore. I am disappointed at that brother. I am disappointed. The actions that people take as a result of disappointment. So I don't talk to her again. So I don't relate with this person again. That cannot be your stand. Amen, amen. That cannot be your stand. That cannot be your stand. See, why must I teach you this, okay? The gospel is for all the world, okay? The gospel is not just for places. Let me tell you the truth. We are still saying in Nigeria, amen. We still have good cultures. You get to places where they use F word in their churches. You will get to places where you see so much upside down in the economy, in the community, in the relationship life. Yet you must preach the gospel. You get to a place where there is insects everywhere, where there is all manner. Yes, you have to preach the gospel and disciple people. So, write this down. Mercy is a universally accepted currency. So, get better in it. Mercy is a universally accepted currency. So, get better in it. Get better in mercy, not in sin imputation. Get better in mercy, not in sin imputation. Get better in mercy and not in sin imputation. Romans 4, verse 1. Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, has pertaining to the flesh at fond? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath what to glory, but not before God. But for what said the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that walketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 6, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Wow. Saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. That's what we do. That's what love does. It covers, okay? A multitude of sin. See verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. How about you getting better in this? This is God's demonstration of love to you. That will also ought to be your demonstration to others. Hebrews 8. So, like I said again, the forgiveness sets God to work on our hearts. It sets God to work. Forgiveness sets God at work on our hearts. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness sets God to work on our hearts. The only person that forgiveness cannot work on his heart is someone that has a stony heart, which I will explain very soon. So, again, Bible interpretation is an explanation of the work of Christ for us and in us and through us. Bible interpretation is an explanation of the work of Christ for us and in us and through us. That's also Bible interpretation. That's what you are going to explain from everything. You can pick Exodus and you explain mercy from Exodus. That's why you will see it very soon. That means it's mercy that you have to explain out of it. That's what God does. God deals in mercy. So Bible temptation is an explanation of the work of Christ in us and for us and through us. Hebrews chapter 8. Don't get tired. Come on. It's called labor, right? Yeah. Study is labor. It's a 3-unit course this morning. So you must have your 3 full hours. Full hours. You have 3 hours with the word of God this morning. Amen, amen. No, you can. I remember there was a day that we taught all day in church, and I was there was a way I usually feel anytime I've maybe fasted and prayed for long, you know. I have a lot of things to teach you. I have a teaching here under the power of God. That's to talk about the tangibility of the power of God. You know, it's not what is unfeelable, okay? It can be very tangible on you without. I was on my bed yesterday and just also simply meditating. Is it just meditation or listening to one of these, your singing is finished work songs? And the power of God came on me mightily. Tangibly, not in your mind, like tangibly, and you will know it. So I just said that to say this, like, I remember there was a day when we taught in church all day. I finished teaching and it was in the night, and I was actually feeling drenched in God's power. So I'm just saying, don't see teaching as the lethargic or as the dull part of ministry or as the uninteresting part. Actually, stuffs happen when the word of God is being taught. Amen. Stuffs happen. Amen. Good things happen even to your body as God's word is being taught. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Say good things happen to my body as I hear the word of God. Say good things happen to my body. Good things happen to my mind. Good things happen around me as I study God's word. Say good things happen around me. Good things happen in my blood. Good things happen in my body as I give myself to God's word. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good things happen. Good things happen. So, see Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8 verse 10. Well done, well done, well done. I salute your courage this morning. Hebrews 8 verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Oh, said the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall not be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his brother and every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. Why? For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Look at that. Everybody will know me from the least to the greatest. How will they know him from the least to the greatest? How will everybody come to terms? How will everybody come to this knowledge of the truth? How? What is the truth? How will they know God? See the next verse. For I will be merciful. We must exemplify, preach, teach a God of mercy. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Merciful, merciful. And in that he set a new covenant, he has made the first old. And now that which decayed and wasted old is ready to vanish away. Amen, amen. So, what he did for us, he does through us. Amen, amen. Praise God. What God did for us, he also does through us. What God did for us, God also does through us. For instance, God forgave us, and he forgives others through us, especially the brethren. God forgave us our sins, and he forgives the brethren through us too. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians, and whosoever you guys forgive, me too, I have forgiven in the place of Christ. Whosoever you guys forgive, I forgive in the place of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 2. So, like, he forgives others through us. He reconciled us to himself. And he works in our words, okay? Words, the word of our mouth, to reconcile men, the word to him. Let me explain that. Let me say that again. He reconciled us to himself and works through our words to reconcile men to him. Then he works in our conduct to forgive and to love the brethren, to love the saved. Let me come back with that again. He reconciled us to himself and works through our words, to reconcile men to him, and works in our conduct to forgive and love the saved. That's what God does. That's what God does. See, listen to me. You can walk in love because you are born of love. You can walk in forgiveness because you are born of love and forgiveness. You are born of love. You are born of forgiveness. You can because you are born of it. You are not the old person. You are not the person before you. You are not even the person
you are before you enter the before you enter the church. You are different. You are changed. Stop holding on to your past. Stop holding. Don't stop. 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 There's some. Don't say it. Ah, me. I am a choleric. I am a inner person. Me. I don't take nonsense. That thing irritates me. Anybody says around is irritating. You are in Christ. Olodo, you are in Christ. That is an override. That's an overrule. Stop hyping negativity. Stop hyping nonsense. You are in Christ. You are not a hurtful person. You are not a doubtful person. You are in Christ. All things passed away. You are in Christ.
Okay, Exodus, go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36:22. Well done, everybody. Therefore, say unto the children unto the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, I do not this for your sake. See this, oh God, I love this. Please look at this. Ezekiel 36:22. Okay, therefore say unto the children of Israel, thus said the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my own holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. Say, I'm doing this for my own sake. I'm not doing it for your sake. This is my sake. This is my making. This is God's will. Okay? See, verse 23, and I will sanctify thy great name. My great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you are profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, said the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Wow. He said, despite all your actions, I will yet sanctify my name through you. How about that? Now, see how it's going to happen. See, next word, 34. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. And next verse. Awesome. Verse 25 right now. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. God says, when I sprinkle my water on you, Shara, what will happen to you? You will be clean. You have no choice. Say amen, amen. Oh, you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And don't forget, he does this by the giving of the Spirit and by the teaching of God's word. Okay, he has done redemption. I'm doing my own part right now. And see the next verse. A new heart also will I give you. Amen, amen. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Look at that. I will give you a heart of flesh. Just look at that. A heart of flesh. So, oh God. There is a work of God in you. I'm coming. See the next verse. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my status, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. There's a working of God in you. God is at work in you. See, Moses Moses wrote the commandments on stones. No, the commandments is, remember, the Ten Commandments, that is God's will, right? That is love for men as a result of faith in God, right? He wrote it on stones to depict the hardness of the heart. When Moses was writing those commandments on stone, that stone that they wrote the law on, that is a picture of the heart of the children of Israel. Remember that our Matthew 19, because of the hardness of your heart. So why was the law written on stone? Moses was trying to tell them that you guys, you are stubborn. But what did Jesus God said there? He said, oh God, God said, I will change that heart of stone to the heart of flesh. Okay? So flesh there is not sinful. Stone versus flesh is talking about hard to soft. Glory to God. So you are soft. You are soft minded. Yeah, you are soft minded. You have compassion. You are soft minded. You don't hold on to grudges. You are soft-minded. You are not hard. You are not the one that says, King Ba. Once he flare like this, hey, everybody, take off, my Lord, take off. No, that's not you. Glory. There's a work of God in you. Amen, amen.
So your mind is not resistive to God's will.
No. Your mind is not.
Your mind is not resistive to God's will. It's not. You are not an insulator to love. Some people, no matter how much you love them, they cannot even show, they will just remain dumb. They will just remain, that's not you. Some people, easily, they just show ingratitude. That's not you. That's not you. Some people, if you have been good to them for 90%, if you, the 10% you miss, in fact, 10% is even too much. The small tiny you miss, that is what they will now pick and amplify all over social media. And they will just forget everything. That's not you. Your mind is not resistive to God's will. Say my heart is filled with mercy. Come on, say my heart is filled with mercy. That's the point. So also, this is the reason why preachers of eternal insecurity, they are so wrong. They are so wrong. They are so wrong. Because you are preaching a God that does not show mercy. Preachers of eternal insecurity, okay? Insecurity. I mean, people of eternal damnation or whatever they call it. They are so wrong. You are preaching a God because their sermons are devoid of mercy. You are showing a wicked God. That's what you are showing. You are showing a wicked God. Like you hear two matchsticks, hellfire, because you refuse to return two matchsticks. Somebody want to enter heaven. Say, God will just open your eyes. Say, you gave a false prophecy one day. Say, because of that. Of course, we don't encourage anybody to be false with God's word. But guy, relax. I love to ask some people. I say, are you a stakeholder in salvation? Are you we are all stakeholders, but are you a stakeholder in the procurement of salvation? Are you? Or are you one of the prophets that prophesied? Are you the Uzziah that married a lot because of salvation? Are you the woman Anna that refused to marry until she see the Lord come? Are you, which one is your own? Are you Zachariah that was killed between the two ones? Are you Prophet Elijah that Jezebel was pursuing? What do you contribute? Did you prophesy about salvation? You didn't prophesy. You are not the Jesus. Jesus is not your cousin. He's not your brother. You are not Peter. You are not crucified upside down. So why are you angry that God will save the worst of men? Why are you angry that God can use a basket to fetch water? Why are you angry? Why are you angry that God will go to a stream and will not carry the qualified, that will use a basket? Why are you angry? Why are you angry that the worst of us can yet serve God as much as the best of us? Why are you angry? Like, I remember this man of God, Baba Obadare. The man was blind for decades, yet he served God. He now died. No, actually, I think there's a rumor that the man himself, before he died too, that he said he saw one preacher in hell. Well, we don't know if how true that is, because that is Bimbo. Bimbo Odukoya that usually give us awesome relationship talks in those early 2000s. They say because the woman usually wear trousers and jewelries, which I don't know, and there was no picture of her, we know that she wear trousers and jewelry herself. Say, I'm sorry, of course she wears jewelries. Because of her jewelries and trousers, they say, you saw her burning in hell with her trousers. In fact, the trousers is still burning, it has not finished burning. Abba. So, the man now, maybe the man, I think, well, the people claim that it's the man that said it, but we are not sure. We don't have the recording. They, this man of God, he served God for decades, blind, he died, and they say he went to hell. Why are you so merciless? Somebody without sight, serve God, preach, heal the sick, preach in plenty countries. He died, you see, say he went well. Why are you like this? Blessed are the merciful. Amen, amen. Praise God. You'll be hearing that. You can be serving God like this, and at the last minute of your life, 2 minutes to the end, 2 minutes to 12, what happens? Just, 2 minutes to the end. Who is there? A small saint will just pass your front, and you just look at her, and you lost your salvation. Brethren, can you see? Brethren, can you see? That's a God that is devoid of mercy. That's wicked. Why are we so wicked?
Why are we so wicked? So, clearly, the only sin in the Bible that leads to damnation is to reject the source of God's mercy, which is the sacrifice of Jesus. So, the only sin in the Bible that leads to damnation is to reject the source of God's mercy, which is the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. Which is the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. I'm 80% done today. Don't worry. Even if I refuse to be done, Mr. Larry will cut me off in less than an hour. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Are you learning something? I'm just pushing good to my computer here. Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Okay, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedience. Look at that. For the lawless and the disobedience, for ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers, for murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for warmongers, for them that defy themselves with mankind. Thank you, Brashavi. For men stealers. See those things, okay? For liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Contrary to sound doctrine. He said that all these vices, they are contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, one major element of all you can see above, and also one major anchor of unforgiveness, is anger. Is anger. One major anchor of unforgiveness, and most of those vices you see, I just finished reading, is anger. 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 I'll just talk about this, then I will close today. It's anger. Anger. See, if you don't address anger, if you allow time to take away anger from your heart, it will leave a lump of unforgiveness there. So that means it's either you address the anger, or you allow the anger to solidify. The anger is a liquid matter. You understand? Uh-huh. So, but if you don't evacuate the anger, if you allow it to solidify, it solidifies as unforgiveness. The anger, it solidifies as what? Unforgiveness. So at times, we also say, well, don't worry, just allow time, yeah? With time, everything will be fine. Just give me some space. Yeah? I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Just give me some space. You think we now form a lump somewhere in your appendix. You now have to go for surgery. Sorry, figurative. Okay. Many people, they justify wrongdoing with "I was angry." Let me just talk about this today. It's very good. A lot of people just justify a wrongdoing with "but I was only angry," thinking that it's not just anger. Can't I be angry? Is it not proper? I was angry. How come we justify wrongdoing with "I am angry"? Somebody asks you, why do you act like that? I'm angry. Can't I be angry? Don't have my right to be angry. Can't I be angry? I was angry. Come on, relax, 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 relax. Can't I be angry again? See, and of course, we also have a scripture where we say, but Bible says we can be angry. In fact, we have terms such as holy anger. See, Ephesians 4, 26. Ephesians 4, 26. Let me just explain this. I think I should have done it before somewhere. Maybe. I don't know if it's church or Facebook. Ephesians 4, 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be angry and sin not. Say, let not the sun. Say, can you see? That means
I can be angry. At least I can be angry, like right now. So if I'm angry by 9 o'clock, Paul only said that before it is 6 o'clock, before sun goes down, I can stop being angry. So I have the right to be angry for how many hours now? From 6 to 9. I mean, 6 to 6, 12 hours. Like below. Holy anger.
Well, clearly, you should have heard this before. That word, be ye. Now, if you look at your Bible, the whole of those words, be ye angry, the three, be ye angry, that three, be ye angry. If you circle it in your mind like that right now, not just the anger, the whole of be ye angry is just one Greek word, orgizo, O-R-G-I-Z-O, O-R-G-I-Z-O, orgizo, O-R-G-I-Z-O. And it is used in the Bible. Please write this down. It is used in the Bible for an anger that is already in motion. It is used in the Bible for an anger that is already in motion. It is used in the Bible for an anger that is already happening. It is used in the Bible for an anger that is already in motion. So it is used for a present and past anger, not future. Not like it's not being used for an instruction to be angry. It's used for an anger that is already present. Let me just show you the few places where this word is used in the Bible. Be ye angry, the whole of that's orgizo. Orgizo. Are you ready? Quickly, guys, follow me through. This is just the last study we do and we conclude. Matthew 5:22. It's used for a present or past anger, not future. So, see Matthew 5:22, and I say unto you that whosoever is angry, see, present, right, is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger. That means you're already angry. Anybody that is angry. See, Matthew 18 is angry, not will be. Well, just by the tense there, it looks somehow, but follow me. See Matthew 18:34, and his Lord was wroth. See this one, past now. This one is very clear. It's clearer than the first one. And his Lord, you cannot use it as his Lord will be wrought or his Lord should be wrought. No, it's was wrought. It's something, an anger already there. That is Matthew 18:34. And his Lord was wrought and delivered him to the tormentors. Matthew 18:34. His Lord was wrought. Was wrought. It's like a reported speech, reporting speech, right? Okay. See Matthew 22:7. Come on, be fast. Me too, I'm hungry. And some of you are hungry. and when the king heard, he was wrought. See, past tense, he was wrought. The whole of he was wrought. That's orgizo. The whole of he was wrought. That is orgizo. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers. See Luke 14:22. And this is one I love most of all the translations. And so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, the whole of being angry, okay? The whole of being angry, that is simply called orgizo. The whole of being angry, said to his servant, get out quickly into the street and into the lanes. Go to Luke 15. Just 3 more, I'll be done. Go to Luke 15, verse 28. And he was angry. Can you see that? The whole of he was angry. Can you see? It's also past tense, right? He was angry. And of course, will not go out to, that is a, he's not, will not go in, therefore his father. That is his parable that we just finished reading. Then go to Revelation. Revelation, actually, it's Revelation, I'm coming with 20, something, no, 11, 11. 11 verse 18. And the nations were angry. See, were angry. And thy wrath is come. See, they were angry. Wow, that should be past tense, right? Okay, lastly, see how you translate this thing. Lastly, that should be chapter 12, verse 17, right? Yeah. Chapter 12, verse 17, Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wrought. Of course, he had to be wrought. He was wrought with the woman and etc. So, you could see that orgizo was used for an anger either in the past
or an anger already present. That is interpretation by usage right now. By usage.
Because if you only check the grammar in the Greek, orgizo simply means, I don't put it. It simply means angry, like, you are just angry. So it's, the tenses were not specified. But by the time you see how it is being used in the Bible, it's used for an anger that is already present. So go back to Ephesians 4, 26. So that old of be angry is a bad, is, well, it's Pastor Menka that tells, I use that word bad translation. So it's not a proper translation at all. It's better as being angry. Being angry. I think if you have another Bible translation, you will get what I'm saying properly. Let me check if I have a translation that explains that here. Ephesians 4, 26. Okay, let me try God's word. God's word says, okay, be angry. That is still normal. If I check ISV, okay, that one still says be angry. Let me check let me go to Good News Bible. Good News. Now, see what Good News says. Good News says, if you become angry. Okay, so it's not saying be angry. He said, if you become angry. That means God is not permitting you to be angry, but he's saying if it happens. Just like that 1 John 2. Quickly go to 1 John 2. Sorry. Verse 1. Say, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Can you see that? If I say, okay, my guy, I am writing this to you so that you don't sin. Say, but if any man sin, okay, that means it's not, I'm not permitting you to sin. Say, but if it happens. So go back to where we are reading. Same thing here. So that's Good News Bible says, if you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. That means, do not let your anger proceed further. And do not stay angry all day. That's Good News Bible. Let me check Dabi. Let me see if Dabi did not help. In fact, okay, CEV says, don't get so angry that you sin. And go there, BB. I don't have NLT here. If you see, check NLT, you can also, you also see some few translations that rendered it a bit more perfectly. I don't have them here right now. Okay, so back to, so that means me, I love to put it like being angry, that, or in case you are angry, sin not further. Simple. In case you are angry, sin not further. Why? Because anger is already a sin. Anger is already a sin. So, but when, if you find yourself angry, don't sin further. Don't sin further. So that means the moment you find yourself in anger, the next thing to do is to stop the anger. Please write that down. When I find myself in anger, the next step is to stop the anger. That means immediately I find myself in anger, the next step is not the most important thing again. The next important thing is not the issue I am trying to address. The moment I find myself in anger, the next thing is not the issue I'm trying to address. The next thing is first stop the anger. Immediately you find yourself in anger, you are unfit to further address that issue. Are you getting that? The moment you find yourself in anger, you are already unfit to address that issue further. So when you find yourself in anger, first thing to do is to stop it. Stop it. Don't talk about it. Don't say I must talk. Don't say I must talk. No. In fact, write this down. I must never say to anybody that I am angry. It must always be I was angry. I must never say to anybody that I am angry. It should always be I was angry. It must always be in the past. You must have repented. I was angry, not I am angry. Past tense, guy. Past tense. Because the moment you realize you have slipped into anger, the game changes. That's the point. The moment you realize you have slipped into anger, the game changes immediately.
So when you realize you have slipped on God, change that game plan. Leave the issue and face yourself. Sort out the anger. Leave the issue, face yourself. Sort out the anger. You speak to yourself. I am a man of love. Jesus' love is at work in my heart. Don't spend time complaining and lamenting. Leave that issue you want to address. The moment you find yourself angry, at that time you have lost the right to speak on that issue as a believer. Leave the issue first. Sort out your anger. God can only walk through you, walk with you to correct things, to make things better when you are not angry, when you are not walking in the flesh. Anger is to walk in the flesh. Are you with me? So the time you spend to complain or to lament to somebody should be spent on reconciliation. That's what you do. You first remove the anger, you reconcile. You remove the anger. You don't spend the time to complain, to lament that, do you know what he did? Uh-uh. The first thing is you sort out yourself. No matter what the other party has done. Praise God. See, the issue with most of us is that we try to control things beyond our power. That's the issue with most of us. We try to control things. We bother ourselves with things that is beyond our control. We bother ourselves with things that is not our business. Things beyond our power. That is the reason for anger most times. So, like I think I wrote in my notes here. I said, learn to crash the heat of anger with a sudden cold water. Hallelujah. Learn to crash the heat of anger with a sudden cold water of repentance. I mean, that's what I do. Learn to crash the heat of anger with a sudden cold water of repentance. If a couple, as a couple, as a husband and wife, your wife is not happy with you, give her a sudden kiss. Sorry, I hope singles. Hope you didn't hear down. Like with a sudden. Don't. In that times we love to allow. Say, don't worry. Okay, we'll be getting back small. Maybe before. Okay. We have not spoken for a long time. Okay, let's now be reconciling small. No, make it sudden. All of a sudden. Hallelujah. A hug. All of a sudden. You learn to collapse it drastically. Don't wait. Don't give it a time. Don't give Satan time to go. Chase him out. Don't give Satan time to leave you. Chase him out. Pursue him. Get out of here. You speak to yourself. You all those things you sing his song. Confess it to yourself. Jesus' love is at work. Is at work in my heart. Amen, amen. Is your colleague at office? You do something rapid. Crush the anger. It's not everything that needs long discussion. It's not everything that needs very long discussion. Shower it away. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I deal in forgiveness, not in correctness. It's not, that's a believer. I know you mean, a lot of us don't like that. That's the game plan, is forgiveness first. To you, is forgiveness before correctness. Oh God. See, by the time most of you get married, I want you to have a nice home, okay? I don't want Ojus to be dragging any lady to me that, Pastor, come and see how she cooking to me. That's not, please. I know I don't have strength for that. Amen. I want you, most of you get married. I want you to have an awesome home. Awesome home. Awesome relationships. There are some of you that if you ask me that, sir, am I fit for marriage? I would say, no, you are not fit for the next, you are not fit. You have to take this course again, take this series again before you are fit. Because the lump of things that you can easily pile in within you, I beg you, be a good ambassador of the divine assembly. After you have suffered everything you have suffered, you are doing ministry day and night, you should have a nice family. Don't scatter everything with annoyance. Don't scatter everything with anger. That's not you. That's not you. Praise God. So let's just read everything now in context. Let's read everything. Let's now check context. That is just so what I just did for you now is that is interpretation majorly by usage, okay? So let's now interpret that Ephesians 4 in context. Ephesians 4 from verse 22. Let's now read everything together. Trust me, it's not everything that needs long discussion. Then just let go and be fine. Ephesians 2, 4, 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust,
and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you be, that it, okay, and sorry, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of, can you see that? For we are members one of another. A lot will go right with the ministry of Christ when harmony is there. For we are members, I still fired all my leaders also 2 days ago. Maybe I'll still do it again today. Like, we are, you must, like, this unity is a no-no. It cannot work where I am. It cannot work where Jesus is. It should not work. It cannot work. For we are members one of another. But at the end of the day, when you see Jesus, the things you are holding in your heart today, you'll not be able to say it. It will be unsayable. So why did you guys, why can't you guys do ministry together? Because of this, he corrected my crayon. And see, so now say in verse 26, so see, being angry, or in case you're angry, sin not further. Okay? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay? That means immediately you see anger, stop it. Anger is already a sin. So sin not further. Don't continue the sin. Don't progress in sin. You're angry, you stop it. Now say, neither give place to the devil. Okay, it's when you don't allow the quick reconciliation, you are giving place to the devil. You are giving Satan time to walk. Okay, it's in those times, it's when people do awful things. Awful things. See somebody that said that you slap, you do this, it's because of anger. Anger that is not stopped. You allow it to keep going. Amen. 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hand the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. How do you grieve the Spirit of God? See the next verse. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All, everything, pastors, leaders, workers, ministers, all malice, all, with all malice, let all, everything, let not remain, all bitterness, let it go, all wrath, let it go, all anger, let it go, all clamor, let it go, all evil speaking, that's not you, you are a believer, all evil speaking, let it go, be put away from you with all malice. And 32, come on, can we take this together, loud and clear where you are, read it loud, please. Yes, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Amen, amen. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So Paul is never saying you can be angry. No, he's saying in case you are angry, quickly retrace your step. I'm almost closing. In case you are angry, quickly retrace your step. At that time, retracing your step is more important than the issue you are trying to address. Amen, amen. Retracing your step is more important than the issue you are trying to address. Because God cannot walk through an angry vessel. He cannot walk through an angry man. He cannot. Amen, amen. God cannot walk through an angry man. And God always wants to walk through you. Can you see that? God always wants to walk through you. And he cannot walk through the works of the flesh. He cannot walk through the works of the flesh. He cannot walk through your anger. So, church leaders, guys, listen to me. Church leaders, even in reproving, in correcting people, ensure anger is not involved, okay? Yes, we must carry out 2 Timothy 3, this thing. We must carry it out. We must instruct people. We must correct. We must reprove. I know at times some people can be so crazy. Yeah, but we must reprove. But you cannot do it successfully in anger. That's the point. You cannot carry out that 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17. You cannot carry it out successfully with anger. You can't. Parents, don't discipline your children while angry. We must work on that. You must not allow that thing to be locking your heart when you are disciplining your children. No. You work on it. Couples, work on it. Work on it. Amen, amen. What of preachers that we all are? You work on it too.
Even when you see somebody that is spilling out false doctrine, don't be quick to say you are stupid. Don't be quick to say, no, of course, relax. Relax. Don't forget, you are sent to bless them, right? You are sent for them. You have a ministry because of those issues. Yes, you must correct. Yes, you must correct. But don't be quick. In fact, everything you saw in the scripture, yes, just because they're all fools, all slow of heart, he called Galatians, all foolish Galatians, but it's not out of, that is Paul saying all foolish Galatians, and none of them is out of anger. That's what I'm just saying, okay? At times you can use very strong words, very clear, strong words to arrest people's attention, but ensure you are not angry. That's what I'm saying. Ensure you are not angry. I'm speaking to somebody and somebody is just spilling out rubbish. Ensure you are not angry. You stay there, you correct, you instruct. Praise God. God can only walk through you when wrath is not logged in, it's not ruminating your heart. That's when God can walk through you. Amen. And this is the doctrine of Christ. Praise God. Lastly, James 1, last scripture and last. Woo! Glory, glory. Amen, amen. Did you get this at all today? Yeah, we can have awesome relationships. You can have awesome marriage. You can have awesome ministry. You can have awesome times. Just see the few things I mentioned. Don't bother yourself with things beyond your control. Don't accumulate gossip in your heart that will now be giving you false impression of your brethren. Don't accumulate it. And don't forget this Ephesians 4. Hope you know it is actually written to saints in the church. Amen. The book of Ephesians is written to saints in Ephesus, in that church. So where do you practice all these things primarily? In your local church, among your brethren, primarily also for the sake of ministry. Okay? Of course, we can replicate the same in our everyday life, we can replicate the same. This is history. Okay, really, this is who given you. Don't you know they are all here? Happy is not properly. Do you know everything that God went through to be to that church? The number of days that God has to close for peace to stay in that. Do you know? He said, but it's not Eritito abuse me. Do you know what God? Do you know how many years, how many centuries that God did? Amen. Brother Michael, I didn't like the way he looked at me yesterday. My guy, relax. These are those God has given unto you. And guess what? Sorry to say, this may not sound good. God does not have better people to give you. Those are his best. He does not have better people to give you. He doesn't have it. If God has, he will give you. So it's now up to you. You cannot choose. If you now leave God's mind, going out to look for your own preference. Well, you will see what you are looking for. Those are God's best. Amen. Because they are men with the Spirit of God. They are men that have listened to the call of God. They are men with the priority of the gospel. Yeah. So that makes them God's best. Praise God. So this is what we live. Reconciliation, forgiveness, forbearance. Remission of sins, that's a new creation. Amen, amen. So all that is the expression of new creation. James chapter 1 verse 19, last scripture. Open. James 1 verse 19. You come on, you must read this loud and clear to somebody. Ensure it's very loud. Ensure your neighbor is hearing out. Let them hear. James 1, 19 to 20. James 1:19-20. James 1:19-20. Loud and clear. 1, 2, go. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Amen. Read that again. Verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Amen. Amen. See, we cannot serve God acceptably by angry. No. Praise God. Oh, God. What is happening? Just now I'm losing internet. Reconnecting. Oh, awesome. Okay, awesome. So we have gotten to James 1,
19. Awesome. Then I'm done today. So what is in James 1:19 again? So wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Amen, amen. For the wrath of man worketh not. Worketh not. Okay, I say, okay, can we read this? I want us to read this together again. I want you to read it loud and clear to your neighbor. Very loud, very clear. Loud and clear to your neighbor. Again, want to go, guys. Yes. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to wrath. Next verse. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Again, verse 20. Want to go, guys. Please. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So, whoever calls it holy anger has not helped us. Okay. Holy anger will not do God's will. Amen. What does God's will is holy patience. Okay. Forbearance. Look at that fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You will not see anything in that place that can support anger in the fruit of the Spirit. You see the fruit of the Spirit, James chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long suffering. Can you see those? James 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ, amen. That is temperance, self-control. Oh, sorry, I'm using MKJV. Yes. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live, since we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Come on, let's read again from verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Amen, amen. Say no envy here. Say no provocation here. Come on, say no envy here. No provocation here. Say Jesus' love is at work in my heart. For the man he died for. Say I walk in love. Say I have awesome relationships. Say I will have awesome marriage. Say I have awesome collab with the brethren. Sorry. What else? Glory to God. So yeah, the love of God is at work in your heart. Okay. God's love is at work in your heart. Is at work in your heart. Amen, amen. And sure you know that this is who you truly are. You are a man. Doctrine has dawned on you. Okay. So you're not only a preacher of good news. You are good news. Amen, amen. Immediately there's a discussion. If you get there, let people know that yes, good news have come. Glory to God. Let people know that goodness have come. Goodness has come. Peace has come to this discussion. Let people know that anything that you bounce on, love has come. Anything you bounce on, love has come. Again, don't forget I'm saying this is of course, this Ephesians is primarily for the use in the church. And also, we also replicate the same in, of course, in our other life endeavors. So let everybody know that anywhere you step into, you are not the one, there cannot be a discord, disagreement, and you are in the center. That cannot be you. That's not you. That is not you. Alaji, come on. That is not you. That's not you. You cannot be in the center of a thriving church. That's not you. You cannot be in the center. You cannot be a ringleader. No, you cannot be found there at all. Anywhere you find yourself, peace is there. Anywhere you find yourself, joy is there. Anywhere you find yourself, gentleness is there. Anywhere you find yourself, self-control, temperance, good things are there. Meekness is there. Amen, amen. For the love of Jesus is at work in your heart. For the love of Jesus is at work in your heart. For the love of Jesus is at work in your heart. So, again, this is the Bible and its interpretation. So, what am I saying? We don't only interpret the Bible to preach, we also interpret the Bible into our lives, okay? To live. So this is what is called the new creation. It's called, otherwise called the remission of sins, okay? Don't have a wife that you cannot enjoy because of issues, because of disagreements. Don't have a family you don't have relationship that every time is always no, you know, some of us, we are just so cantankerous. If somebody shouts you late, it's wala. If he shouts you too early, it's wala. If
If the man buys what he buys is not good enough, it's wala. If it's good, if it's too good, it's wala. Come on, relax. Don't, you are not a fault finder. Amen, amen. You have explained that from the screen. You are not a fault finder. That's not you. That's not, you are not the one always looking for anything to flare up. You are not a flarer. Are you fire? Amen. Are you liquid metal? You are not. Come on. When you see a believer that is doing like, you ask him, my guy, are you a liquid metal? You are not. You are not matches. You are not sulfuric acid. You are not. You are not attaring. You are me attaring. You are me in God. That's not you. Amen. Say, I'm not Yoruba pepper. You know, we have attaring. We have pepper. I'm not, what is the English of pepper? What is the English of attaring? Well, I'm not black pepper. Something like that. That's not you. You are not that artful. You can enjoy all the relationship that God placed around you. You can maximize all of them. Issues will come and go, but men will not go. Amen, amen. Issues will come and go, but men should not go. No. Men are who God has given you. Men are who God has given you. Yeah, men. Come on, men. Men are who God has given you. Men. Don't tribalize them. Ensure you maximize them and ensure you be at peace one with another and you serve God and let all this result into better ministry, okay? That's the grand purpose for all this. Let this all result into better ministry, better relationships, better lives for us. Amen, amen. Thank you. I love you all. It looks like I am hungry right now. So I think this is enough to convince you and not to confuse you that the love of Jesus is in your hearts, that the Bible you hold is about forgiveness, that the new creation is a ready forgiver, the new creation is a life of peace, it's a life of harmony, it's a life of bliss, it's not a life of grudges. Glory, 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 glory. You cannot substantiate from this Bible to be angry. You cannot substantiate from this Bible to keep grudges, to keep malice. So ensure you follow our rights. Ensure you reconcile. Ensure there is repentance. I love you all. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Father. Alantisto Govanta Naranda Stogovana Shanda.